Now, losing your eyesight isn't usually a laughing matter, but Scots comedian Jamie McDonald can see the funny side of being blind, as you will enjoy if you're going to his Edinburgh Fringe Festival show called Blinkered at the Assembly Rooms until August the 26th. So what can we expect, Jamie?
You can expect an hour of absolute hilarity, Simon. I have been doing this now. This is my sixth Fringe show, and this one is called Blinkered, and I'm a storyteller, a gifted storyteller, according to the list, thank you very much. And I just talk about, basically, my life, the way that I live. I lost my sight. I've got RP, so I kind of gradually started losing my sight from my kind of teens onwards, and in this show, I'm talking about, basically, how, you know, disabled people, that we want to live independent, not of England, I'm not too bothered about that, but we want to live independent lifestyles, and I'm kind of finding more and more that I do live independently, but I can't live independent of my eyes. They're not mutually exclusive, so I talk about kind of being a blinkered man, making blinkered decisions because I'm blinkered. You know, for example, I talk about my employment options being limited coming out of university because of my eyes, and I talk about quite a gory scene in the Blindcraft bed factory where I worked for a month putting fabric on the bed bases using an air-powered hydraulic staple gun, which was pretty lethal. And I talk about my kind of journey I went into banking, then I went to comedy. I talk about how I met my wife. Everybody, there'll be a lot of listeners that experienced the change from DLA to PIP. The personal independence payment. I talk about that fiasco, how it was kind of like, you know, it was points for benefits, like a horrendous game show. So it's really, I've had quite a lot of disabled people coming into the show that are getting, you know, they're getting it in a kind of different level from kind of sighted and able-bodied people. But able-bodied people are also having a good time. They're getting very good feedback in the show.
Because that's the thing, you are obviously blind, but you don't want your blindness to define you, do you?
Well, it's skirting that line. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. It can be a handy thing. I do talk about that. I say, like, I talk about it in terms of gender neutrality. I talk about it in the show. I say that people don't want to be defined, gender neutral people don't want to be defined by their sex or by their gender, and I say that I don't want to be defined by my blindness, but unfortunately, if I go out without my white speck, I'm very quickly redefined as an absolute rude weirdo. I do talk about that line. It is a very kind of a blind-led show, because, as I say, I'm always involved in the stories I'm telling, so it always has to come from that perspective.
Do you think, being blind, you need to have a sense of humour? Because sometimes there's a bit of furore when you know, somebody who has a visual impairment perhaps cracks a joke that involves visual impairment, then people in the blind, partially sighted world sometimes get quite offended by that.
Well, touch wood, I've not really experienced any kind of like backlash of people saying that's inappropriate. And certainly not from the sighted world. I've had some people, from the kind of blind and partially sighted world, some people from the sighted world kind of get offended, but I don't think they've got really the kind of right, because they're getting offended on people's behalf that they don't really know about. So I think until I get somebody that's the kind of sight impaired coming up and going, that was out of order, pal, I think I'm still okay. Because I try, when I'm sending up things, like I'm not a vicious comedian, you know what I mean? I like people to, I'm an entertainer, firstly, and I want people to laugh and have a good time. I don't want people to be made to feel awkward or awful.
And they say you should talk about what you know as well, don't they?
Exactly. It's very hard to talk about what you don't know.
Well, I've done it for years. Would you say you're a political comedian?
No. I last year in the show I talked about Scottish independence. Oh, no, it was the 2014 show, and then there was last year about the referendum, the second referendum. But I deal with it because it's funny, but I deal with it more like I was worried if we went independent, the telly would be rubbish. You know, it's nothing about. I'll leave the satire to the satirist.
Being a blind comedian, though, and working a room and having an audience to interact with, how does the sight loss affect that, or does it?
It's a good question. Good question, Simon. What you tend to find, actually, when I speak to other comedians that of noise and get them to speak. So yeah, but I do suffer sometimes from the torture of a smiling audience. Now, these are a lovely audience in themselves. They're enjoying the show, they're sitting back, but they are not making a peep. They are just smiling and sniggering. And then at the end, when you're lashing with sweat, thinking this has been horrendous, you get a standing ovation. Where have you been?
Yeah, so you've got to sort of assume that that's going all right then in that kind of situation.
You do tend to... This sounds like I'm rubbish, doesn't it? You do learn to interpret a silence. Like, is that like a kind of like I'm losing them silence, or is that a kind of we're just enjoying this, keep going, funky boy?
It's a funny thing that, because I play in a band regularly, and you have gigs that you feel you're doing exactly the same thing as you do every other time.
Yeah.
But you can sense sometimes when you're losing an audience and when you pick it back up again. It's not very easy to define, though, what that feeling is.
It's not, but it's because it's happening live, and it's just, you're right, there's a kind of just a mild change in the atmosphere or something, isn't it? And you kind of pick it up, it's like, oh, they're back, thank God.
And then, again, I've got central vision loss. So sometimes I fake looking at some people, so I just to give that connection to an audience.
So, what do you play?
Saxophone. I do a bit of vocals, so I can torture them as well at the same time.
Yeah, don't worry, I'll put this down and I get a pipe going.
Yeah, but it's that technique of, you know, I know what I do to compensate. I see peripherally. So if I look at somebody, I tend to be looking at the person next to them. And it's happened that I ask a question to somebody and the person next to them answers, but I think I'm looking at that one person, so I have to look where I can't see to make sure that I'm looking at directly at people. It's an odd one.
That's interesting. Like, walking a room is interesting. I don't really use any type of thing at all. I mean, I suppose I kind of pivot kind of 180 and kind of engage all the room, you know, so I'm always kind of looking in that, on my head's pointing at that, you know, part of the room, because, you know, if you want to make sure everybody knows that they're involved.
What about accessibility? Because there's been some things about the festival saying that, you know, it's still not accessible enough, people aren't doing enough. What do you think?
I think it's a real tough one, because the venues, I think the venues by and large are accessible, but you're dealing with them, especially up at kind of TV and Bristol Square, you're dealing with pretty ancient buildings. So I think they do their best inside the venues. But what I find more challenging is narrow streets and busy pavement, which is impossible to kind of get around. Some up around Nicholson Street, you get little kind of tiny narrow pavements with all these A-boards and poles and lampposts, and then like a million tourists. So, you know, you could have as many ramps and kind of lifts and everything, but like, just getting from A to B is actually more difficult for me than actually getting around a venue.
I think, you know, as a blind and partially sighted community, I think the thing we want to work at is encouraging as opposed to beating people with a stick about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think people are much more aware now, and, you know, so when they're designing these venues, they're making sure that there's wheelchair access, and that there's kind of like well marked out kind of steps and doors and whatnot. I think people are positively trying to make things better. I don't think anybody is kind of doing things grudgingly. I think because, I mean, for many other reasons, but, you know, I don't know if you know this, we are called access patrons. That's the kind of buzzword around you know, people with disabilities, but they're paying punters. You know, you want them in your show just for financial benefit as well as anything else.
And you want a mixed audience as well.
Oh yeah, I've got loads of kind of disabled people. We have a riot. Fantastic.
Yeah, you'll start your own gang soon.
Yeah, I'll be spending one.
So you're a few nights in, and
a few? 19?
Well, that's a few compared to 40. But and you're coming to the end of the run, the 26th, as I mentioned. So have you found it's changed or developed over the run, the actual show?
Yeah, it always does. It kind of evolves. You pick up new lines, you drop lines, you tweak, and yeah. And then by the time you've got it absolutely perfect, that's it, finished.
But, I mean, the feedback, though, you kind of live, as they say, the maxim is you're only as good as your last show, aren't you?
Yeah, no, I mean, the feedback's fantastic. fantastic. You know, people are saying nice things. The reviewers are saying nice things. I've started to kind of build up a reasonable following as well. You know, people have seen the shows over the years, and I'm taking this one after I finish, taking it to Carlisle Festival, and going to the McRobert up in Stirling, and then down to Irvine, the Harbour Arts Centre in Irvine. So it's not done yet. So I might also in talks with some people to maybe doing more of a few more nights and forming what would be a kind of mini tour, which would be good.
Fantastic. And I've heard you say before, your wife probably married you just for the perks of being married to a blind person, is that right?
Yeah, she's a concession digger. Yeah, it's all about the blue badge. That's what it is, man. There's no love at all. She just wants... And if I annoy her, she puts me for 2 weeks in respite. You know what I mean? It's crazy.
Yeah, and there's a TV licence, so that's a biggie.
Yeah, I've been. Oh, we do the concession bigger stuff. That was a couple of years ago. That was a fun show. That was high viz. Talking about what else did she get? I call yeah. She's living the para la vida loca.
I couldn't even say that. So give us the details. How can we get to see your show?
You've got a few more cracks at it, and it's at 8:25 PM. It is in the Assembly Rooms, very posh, on George Street in Edinburgh. Tickets are a tenner, I think, and £9 concession. And it is an hour long, and it is fantastic.
You say so yourself.
I say so myself.
Do you know, the last time I was at the Assembly Rooms, I went to see Mr. Flatulence.
I can't compete with that.
You certainly can't.
Is that what I think it is?
Yeah. Jamie McDonald, you've cheered me up. Thank you so much. All the best with the show.
Thanks,